Francis Cojo was fascinated by doves, and so it seems appropriate at his Thanksgiving service for the theme of this morning's sermon to be about the dove. And there'll be four points that I seek to make. First, that the dove in the Bible is a picture of our salvation. I take that from Psalm 68, which we've just read, or sung, I'm sorry. Second, the dove reminds us of the Holy Spirit, which every believer is given. And I take that from our New Testament reading that Robert, the second son of Francis and Trudy, read just now. And then third, the dove provides us with a picture of where the believer in this world finds his rest. And that's taken from Genesis chapter 8, which Melchizedek Cojo read earlier. And finally, the dove provides us with a picture of our death and resurrection. We'll take that from Psalm 55, which we will be singing at the end. Well, let us turn first to Psalm 68 and verse 13. Which reads, though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. We begin our lives as fallen sinners, as we saw on Thursday at the funeral service. All of us are tainted by Adam's sin. We sinned, as it were, in Adam when he sinned. Psalm 51, verse 5 reminds us, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We came into this world as sinners and not as saints. I've just this week seen a picture of a very beautiful baby, and I guess to a mother, all their babies are beautiful. Perhaps to the rest of us, some are more beautiful than others, and there certainly is an innocence about babies, but they are still sinners. And someone rather remarked, I hope you won't be shocked by this, that the reason why babies were born small is because if they were born large, they were killed. It's quite a sober thought that babies are born with that tendency to sin, which will never leave them unless, of course, they find their rest in Jesus Christ. Naturally, then, as we grow up away from God. And we prove that by the fruit of our lives. Matthew chapter 7, verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. And the tragedy is that until we turn to Christ, we only, in God's sight, produce corrupt fruit. As Isaiah says, all our good works before God are as filthy rags. Well, Paul sets out the unbeliever's state in Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 18. Again, it's very stark, very blunt. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is the collective judgment by God of the human race. That leaves us in a desperate state. There's no good in us. We're just like that man in the Psalm 68, who was lying among the pots, lying, as it were, in the gutter. And it's a picture, isn't it, of dirty pots, lying amongst, as it were, the washing up. I don't know how full your sink is of washing up, but it's a depressing sight, isn't it, particularly the following morning. And perhaps they're broken pots, lying in the scrapyard, discarded, unwanted, and useless. That's a picture of the Christian condition. Useless. And friends, before God, we don't want it. We might think that, well, of course, we're naturally good people, naturally, of course, we would do what God requires, but we don't. And this is what the Lord Jesus said. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. As if we're those who will creep under the pots. We lie amongst the pots, we will creep under them to keep out the light. That's the picture the Lord Jesus paints for us. You see, the Christian is like Lazarus, the man who fell ill and died and lay in the grave for 4 days. We are spiritually in the same condition as Lazarus was physically. See, we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, where we are dead in transgressions and sins. Dead, just as Lazarus was dead, unable to do anything for ourselves. Yet we read in verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 2, even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Just like Lazarus was called out of the grave. Lazarus, come forth. That is the situation for every believer. You see, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 16, you haven't chosen me, I have chosen you. We all naturally think we have chosen the Lord Jesus. And sometimes, secretly, we think we're slightly better than our neighbor because we've done the right thing. We have chosen the Lord Jesus. We have chosen to turn to him so that our sins can be forgiven. There's something slightly good about it, but there isn't. Because God chose you before you chose him. And if he hadn't chosen you, you could not have chosen him. You'd remain dead in your transgressions and sins. That's why in Ephesians 2 verse 5 says, by grace ye are saved. It's all a work of God. It's amazing. But none of it is to do with us. Well, may I ask, have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus telling you to come forth and follow him? Because that is the call to each one of us. Don't say it. You can't say you haven't heard anyone say it. You'll hear it this morning. Come, repent, follow the Lord Jesus. That's the Lord Jesus' command. Have you heard it in your heart? Have you come forth like Lazarus to follow the Lord Jesus? You see, that's what is required. Let's return to our verse in Psalm 68. Though ye have lean, though you have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. See, the Christian is likened here to a dove that rises and soars above the pots, rises and soars above the sin of this world. See, we're given wings to rise up from being condemned, facing not just death, but hell, that place of eternal torment, where there'll never be any rest for anyone for all eternity. No, we're taken from there, from that position of condemnation, just waiting, as it were, for that trial which will send us to hell. And we are taken to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We, as it were, are given the wings of a dove to fly up to heaven to be with Christ. And we have been given wings to fly above the sin of this world. And we're given a righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So that we are like a dove covered with silver and our feathers with yellow gold. We have that pure righteousness where the Lord no longer sees our sin, but sees Jesus in us and all his glory. All his righteousness is given to us. We shine like lights in a dark place now. We are like the doves. And we bring peace, the peace of the gospel. That is the message. And the dove is a creature of peace. Well, secondly, the Holy Spirit was represented as the shape of a dove at the Lord's baptism. Well, note that he was not actually represented as a dove. It wasn't a dove that came down, but one in the shape of a dove. And that's important. We shouldn't have draw pictures of the Holy Spirit represented by a dove. We're to have no graven images, no images of God. And that includes representing God either as a man. We have many pictures of Jesus. We shouldn't have them. We shouldn't have any pictures of the Holy Spirit looking like a dove. Nevertheless, Scripture says that that was the shape. See, the Holy Spirit is fully God. Came down upon the Lord Jesus, just as he comes down on every believer. Don't think of him as a force, because he is God. When Ananias and Sapphira lied to the disciples about the sale price of the plot of land they'd sold, Peter said to them, why hast thou lied to the Holy Ghost? And then he went on, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. By lying to the Holy Ghost, they have lied to God. He is fully God, just as the Lord Jesus is and the Father. So we see the Holy Spirit is fully God, and he comes and he fills the believer. He fills the believer when he becomes a Christian. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And we read that we are to continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We read that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we find, don't we? We do find that sense of strength when we've sung the psalms, when we've heard the word of God preached. There's a ways in which we are filled with the Holy Spirit, never apart from God's word. The fruit of the Spirit is, again, reflective of the dove. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So, the the dove is being a picture, as it were, the shape of the dove being a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills every believer. So every believer cannot be a Christian without him, without the Holy Spirit. Are you a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? Well, we need to keep ourselves filled with the Spirit. We do that. We engage in Bible study, in singing the Psalms, in having fellowship one with another, in hearing God's word faithfully preached. Third, the dove is a picture of the Christian life in this world. And we're given a marvelous picture of this in Genesis chapter 8. Noah was still in the ark with all the animals and living creatures that were not destroyed in the flood. You remember that? And then after 150 days, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. 40 days later, Noah opened the window of the ark and he sent for a raven and a dove. Now, the raven is one of the unclean creatures we find listed in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And it's a picture, really, of sin. It's a picture of fallen man, black, unclean, feasting on the refuse of this world. It went to and fro from the ark, back to the ark, away from the ark, until the waters were dried up. And no doubt that raven feasted on the rotting corpses that were floating around the water as the flood waters receded. It was quite happy with that as its fare. It needed nothing else. So is the fallen nature of man, which is at enmity with God and desires those things, as we've already seen from John chapter 3, that God hates, and it runs away from the light. That is fallen man. Indeed, the things that it desires, the works of the flesh, are listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The raven shows the contrast between a life without Christ and the life with Christ, which is pictured by the dove. The raven was at home in the world, only returning to the ark because it had to. But as soon as he could, he was off, never to be seen again. Let's consider the dove by contrast. He was sent out by Noah to see whether the waters were abated, whether the waters had dissipated so that they could once again build houses on the earth that weren't going to be destroyed by a deluge of water. We read in verse 9, the reason why, of course, the dove was so suited for this task was that the dove delights not in filth, but in cleanliness. The dove flies low and far. You know that they used to use doves to send messages, and the dove would always be released so that it flew back to its home is Dovecot. And if it did not return, that meant that the waters had receded and it was safe to venture out. If the raven didn't return, that was no guarantee that it was safe to venture out, because the raven would have been quite happy making its nest among the putrid remains of the flood. But the dove would only make a clean home for himself. And so, whether the dove returned or not, sent a message whether it was safe or not for Noah to leave the ark. And we read in verse 9, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him," that's unto Noah, "into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he," Noah, "put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him." When we become Christians, we delight ourselves in the company of other Christians, just as the dove delighted in the dovecot, in the company of other doves. And indeed, it enjoyed human company too. But of course, like us, the dove couldn't stay in the dovecot all the time. There was work to be done for the dove, work of ensuring that a place of safety could be found for all the inhabitants of the ark. Just as we as Christians, we have a job to be Christ's ambassadors, to tell people about this place of safety that everyone can have in Christ Jesus. And so the dove was sent out, just as you and I are sent out into the world. And the world, unfortunately, does have a hold on us still, doesn't it? We do find ourselves drawn to the world. We don't have that single heart always for Christ as we ought to have, do we? And we try so often to replace that peace we have in the Lord Jesus with peace from the world. But there is no rest, as it were, for the wicked. There is no rest. There is no peace, true peace, to be found in the world. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome them. In the world, tribulation, in me, peace." See, we'll never get peace in the world because the world is at enmity with God. And peace only comes with a clear conscience. See, the peace Jesus gives is the peace of a clear conscience. He alone can give it and maintain it. That's why he calls his people to abide in him. It's another verse we looked at on Thursday. We abide in Christ. That peace remains. But when we leave him, when we depart like the dove, we fly away, we look for peace so often, don't we, in other areas, in our work, in relationships, particularly perhaps in relationships, but also in work. People give themselves to work, don't they? They don't come to church because they're too busy working. Or they choose a relationship with somebody who's not really interested in the Christian life. And they find a degree of fulfillment, but never the same peace as they have in the Lord Jesus. See, when that dove went out, it found no rest for the soul of its feet. Charles Spurgeon remarked when he preached on this same passage in 1830, 1865. Now, Solomon was permitted to make experiments for us all and to do for us what we must not dare to do for ourselves. Here is his testimony in his own words, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 2 to 11. I said of laughter, it is mad. How many people give themselves to comedy? Comedy actors. Much time can one waste watching comedy on YouTube or on the television? And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses. How many give themselves to their houses and their possessions? I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eye desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. My heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. That was his verdict on a life lived in this world for this world. Of course, we can work as believers. We have to. We're to be salt and light. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Yes, we can enjoy a nice meal out. We can enjoy a nice house and a happy family. But because that is what the Lord Jesus has for us. First of all, his lordship. Then what his lordship provides for each one of us, which we'll do. But what we're not to do is we're not to put the world first, Christ said. We'll never be at peace if we do that. Just like the dove, we will find no rest for the souls of our feet. So we should learn from Solomon's example. As Augustine of Hippo remarked, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Our rest must be in Jesus Christ and no one or nothing else. So we read that the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet and returned to the ark. There, as believers, we will find this constant battle in our souls between the things of this world and the things of Jesus Christ. We will face many temptations to find rest in this world, but they will always elude us. The rest of the Lord Jesus is in him alone. He spoke these comforting words at the end of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
That's where we find our rest.
You see, we all labor. We labor in sin. We labor with all the world's troubles upon us. But the Lord Jesus offers us rest when we come to him and we confess our sin and we confess all those worries we have and we lay them upon him. Then he listens and he carries them for us. We find rest when we become Christians, rest from our sin. And we find rest in service. Rest as he takes our burdens upon his shoulders. We find rest because he's carrying them for us. May you and I each find our rest in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and for service. Well, finally, the dove gives us a picture of death and the resurrection. In this, I take Psalm 55, verses 6 to 8. Oh, let me just turn to this. Psalm 55. Verses 6 to 8. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would haste my escape from the windy storm and tempest. That's a good picture of life in this world. The windy storm and tempest. Life is a bit like that, isn't it? When will that storm ever cease? Well, not finally, until we are called home to be with the Lord Jesus. I read at the beginning of the service, in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But where I am, there ye may be also. See, the Christian longs finally to be at his journey's end. It's a wonderful thing that to be absent from the body, as we saw our dear departed brother, we saw him in the coffin at the end of the funeral. We didn't see him. He's absent from the body now. He was absent on Thursday. He was absent the moment that he was taken to be with the Lord on the 11th of May. Absent from the body means present with the Lord. And it was as if, just as we are given wings to fly from the darkness and the mortality of sin, that spiritual darkness that we were living in when we were dead in sin, trespasses and sins, we were given wings to rise and to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. So Francis was given wings to fly from this world to the next, to be with the Lord Jesus forever. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Remember the thief on the cross. We read about him in Luke chapter 23. And the Lord Jesus said to him, after the thief had said, Lord, remember me, thou enterest thy father's kingdom.
And he replied, I verily, verily, I say unto you, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. That day, that thief was going to die. And he was going to go where the Lord Jesus was going, to paradise. Yes, the Lord Jesus' body went into the grave, but his soul went to be with the Lord Jesus. And that is where every believer goes. That is where Francis has gone, because he believed on the Lord Jesus for his salvation. And so we take comfort, don't we, that one day we will see him again. One day each of us will be given wings of the dove. We long for that in a way, don't we, at the moment. It's that longing, particularly for those who mourn, for the family, no doubt. They'd love to be with their father, with their husband now. But that will have to wait. It has to wait because there's work to be done in this world first. The Lord Jesus has work for you and me. And that work will help furnish that house he's preparing for us, that mansion he's preparing for us in heaven. We're not going to be saved by our good works, but our good works will follow us, and they are evidence that we have believed on the Lord Jesus. Well, when we next see a dove, may we be reminded of the Lord Jesus. May we be reminded of how we as Christians ought to be in this world. May we be reminded that one day we will be given dove's wings to fly far away from you, to be in the presence of our Saviour and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.